Stars and More Expedition Through the Bible is a live call-in talk show every Monday from 6 to 7 right here on this radio station. David Harris and Tom Moore will cover difficult topics of life and worship and will give a Bible answer for every question. We encourage you to tune in and call in every Monday night from 6 to 7. The number is 855-QA-BIBLE. Again, that's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Or email your questions and comments to questions@harrisonmoore.org. Our motto is, you've heard what men have to say, now listen to what the Bible has to say. Now join our hosts, David Harris and Tom Moore.
Welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition to the Bible. My name is Tom Moore, the gospel preacher for the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas. And with me tonight, my good friend and partner on this program, David Harris, who preaches for the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas. And we got a wonderful program for you tonight, I believe. We're going to be talking about what happens when one becomes a Christian. Now, there are a lot of strange ideas out there in the world today about what people think there is that happens to one when he becomes a Christian. But our motto is, you have heard what men have said. Now, let's listen to what the Bible has to say. The Bible says that there is a transformation that occurs when one obeys the precious gospel and becomes a child of God. And what we're going to see tonight is, David and audience out there, is that one cannot remain the same when they become a Christian. You know, in reality, there are only two possibilities that exist for human beings of the age of accountability. Either they are a child of God or a child of the devil. Now, David, Colossians really verifies that idea, doesn't it?
Absolutely. The Holy Spirit through Paul in the letter to the Colossians affirms this very thing. You're either going to be a child of God or you're going to be a child of the devil. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13, we read there, "Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son." Translated is transformed us. And so this is the transformation that we really have taking place here. And we have been delivered from the power of darkness and have been translated into the kingdom of his dear son. Tom, we are either going to be in the power of darkness or we're going to be out of the power of darkness. We can't have it both ways.
You know, and there are a lot of people, David, it seems to me that they want to try to straddle the fence. Mm-hmm. They want to have one foot in the world and they want to have one foot with the Lord, but that's not going to work that way. As a matter of fact, notice what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 in verse 24. He says, now here's a key word right here, no man, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. David, that's the problem that the world is having today. They're trying to put one foot in the world and one foot with the Lord, but Jesus says, you can't do this. It's either one or the other. Either you are in the kingdom or you're out of the kingdom. Either you're in darkness or you're out of the darkness. You cannot be both ways.
Right.
And so tonight, we're going to be looking at some things that occur when we become a Christian. And we might ask ourselves, can we really become a Christian if we're not willing to do what Christ says? Well, we're going to talk about that in just a moment. Before we do, David's going to tell our audience who's listening in on us tonight.
Well, we are broadcasting from right here at the Hillcrest Building in Stephenville, Texas, in Studio 4. But we're also broadcasting out of Eastland, Texas, KATX 97.7 FM, KNNK 100.5 FM out of Hereford Canyon and Amarillo, KWBY 98.5 FM right here in Stephenville, In the AM side, we got KDAV 1590 in Lubbock, Texas, and KVOP AM 1090 in Plainview, Texas. I'd like to hear from you guys out there in West Texas today. And also, you can tune in and listen to us on the gospelradionetwork.org. The easiest way to get there is to go get on your computer and go to harrisonmoore.org and just click on the microphone there. It'll take you to the gospelradionetwork.org, and there you're going to find a chat box, and you can communicate with us on that chat box if you like, but we'd rather have you pick up the phone, and I'll give you that number in just a moment. This program is going to be rebroadcast at 6 a.m. on Tuesday morning on this very website as well. And as Tom mentioned just a moment ago, our motto, we're thrilled with our motto because this is the purpose for this whole radio program here. You have heard what men have said. Now let's hear what the Bible has to say. After all, that is the most important thing. Men come and go, but the Bible is always going to be there. This is a live call-in talk show. We are running live right now, and we want you to call in with your questions or your comments. And the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Just spell it out, 1-855-QA-BIBLE. And if you'll dial that number, we'll pick up the tab. It's a toll-free number. It doesn't make any difference where you're calling us. You can be overseas. It doesn't matter. We will pick up the tab there. If you want to, you can email your questions to us at questions@harrisonmoore.org. And don't forget the chat room. You can get on it. But if you have a smartphone, you can Google harrisonmoore.org, and it will take you right to our website. Click on the microphone, and you can listen to us on your smartphone as you're walking down the road.
We can also, you can also follow us on Twitter, and you can ask us questions on Twitter going by use a hashtag, AskHarrisonMoore, and you can ask us questions. That way, maybe there's some topic that you might be interested in us discussing. We'd love to have some topics that you're interested in. Of course, if they're biblical in nature, we don't want it to discuss the Cowboys losing streak or anything like that. But we do want to discuss moral issues, political issues that are facing our church that have Bible reference. We are more than happy and willing to discuss these things. We're also airing tonight and have been for the last 3 weeks on Periscope. For those who know what Periscope's all about, you go and get you a Periscope app. You can look up Tom Moore, and you can follow us, and you will have a reminder every time that we go on the Harrison Moore Expedition, so you can watch us live and really see how we do things behind the scene. David, tonight, again, we're talking about what happens when one becomes a Christian. And again, we ask the question, can we really become a Christian, David, if we are not willing to do what Christ says? Now, Christian, Christ, there's a connection there, right? If you're really going to be called a Christian and claim to be one, then Christ comes into play, doesn't he?
Right. If we're going to wear the name Christian, then we've got to protect the dignity of that name.
As a matter of fact, in a week or two or three, we're going to talk about the name Christ that we are to protect that name and that we wear that name. But David, we think about this idea of becoming a Christian. The first thing that I think we need to really realize is that when we become a Christian, we become a new creature. Some translations will have a new creation. David, tell us a little bit about that idea and where it comes from in the Bible about being a new creature, a new creation.
Well, Paul reemphasizes this fact that this is one of the things that happens when a person becomes a Christian. And in chapter 5, in verse number 17 of the book of 2 Corinthians, or the letter that was written to the church at Corinth, the second letter, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, he says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And there's a couple of things we need to point out there. First of all, he says, if any man be in Christ, well, you've got to be in Christ before you can become a new creature. And Tom, where does the Bible have to say? I know what men have to say about being in Christ, but what does the Bible have to say about an individual getting into Christ or putting on Christ? And we want to give a Bible answer for
this. Exactly. You know, in Galatians chapter 3, and verse 27, Paul said, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ did put on Christ." And so here Paul, an inspired apostle of Christ, says that if you want to be in Christ and therefore be a new creature, a new creation, then you're going to have to be baptized, because Paul says that's what put one into Christ.
Baptized into Christ.
Into Christ.
So there he says in verse 17, again, he says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ," this is what he's talking about.
You know, when we think about this idea, David, of being in Christ, baptized into Christ, and being a new creature, a new creation, David, this new creation is never to become an old creature, is it?
No, you never become old. It doesn't grow old. It is a new creature forever. This new creature that we become, this new creation that we become, carries us all the way into heaven, and we never, ever, ever stop being new.
And when we think about this idea of being a new creation, we have become something, David, that we have never been before. And we're going to talk more about that as we delve into this idea of becoming a new creation, a new creature. And also, we're also going to be receiving, at that point, a new name. We're going to be called a Christian.
Right.
Now, David, when we think about this idea of becoming a new creature, the scriptures also teach that that being a new creature is parallel to being born again. David, tell us a little bit about John chapter 3, where Nicodemus is coming onto the scene, and he's going to ask Jesus evidently a question, because we know he asked a question because Jesus answered a question.
Right. Well, Nicodemus was a very intelligent man. He sat on the Sanhedrin council. He was a ruler of the Jews. We're told that Nicodemus came to Jesus by night to ask him a question. And the question is not given to us, but the answer that Jesus gives is given.
Yes.
And so the implication of the question is this: can I go to heaven with my Jewish heritage? Can I go to heaven because I am of the seed of Abraham, a chosen and a blessed people, which I've always been told under this Jewish dispensation, this Mosaic dispensation, that I could go to heaven that way? Can I still do this in this new Christian age? And Jesus gives him the answer twice. And in verse number 5, he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Now, that word "born" there literally means to come out of. And so we rephrase that thing so that we can understand it very well. He says, except a man come out of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. But if a man were to come out of the water and be of the Spirit, then he is born again, and he is born into the kingdom of God. This is what Jesus is telling. This is the new birth that causes the individual to be a new creature that Paul is talking about in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17.
Exactly. And David, the passage that we began with in Colossians 1 and verse 13 also adds light to this, because it says, who delivered us out of the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. And so here we are born again, born out of, taken out of the world. And here we are translated out of darkness. We see a very important significance here, David, of a changing taking place. The new creation, the new creature, if you will. And David, is this not exactly parallel to what we find in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38? You know, Peter had just preached that outstanding gospel sermon. He had convicted them that they had crucified the Son of God, and then they were pricked in their hearts, and they asked Peter, what must we do? Well, what was Peter's answer?
Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, for the forgiveness, for the pardon of your sins, having those sins wiped away in baptism, coming up out of that baptismal grave, holy, spotless, cleansed, without sin, a brand new creature having undergone the new birth.
Look how all these things are connected here. We have ourselves being translated out of darkness. We have ourselves being born again. We have ourselves having our sins washed away, or have our sins forgiven and therefore new. And all of these things, David, as we've seen, are tied to baptism. Now, people wonder why we emphasize baptism so much. Well, it's because the Scripture emphasizes baptism. It puts us into Christ, where we become a new creature. It's where the forgiveness of sins is, Acts 2 and verse 38. And as a result of baptism, becoming a new creature, having our sins forgiven, we see the importance then of baptism in God's plan of salvation, and that's becoming a new creature. Now, notice also, David, when we go over to the book of Romans chapter 6, how baptism is also connected with becoming new.
Yes.
You know, in Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 4, there Paul is going to mention to us a very important statement concerning baptism and becoming new. He says in Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, or are you not ignorant that all we who were baptized, notice, baptized into Christ, now was that not where we become a new creature?
Mm-hmm.
Baptized into Christ, we were baptized unto his death. We were buried therefore with him through baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we also might walk in, there's the phrase,
newness
of life. New creation, new creature, newness of life, all connected to baptism.
And he explains this in the next two verses in a way that we cannot misunderstand it. We're talking about being a new creature versus that old man that we once were. And in verse number 5 of Romans chapter 3, he says, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. The old man is crucified with it. He is put to death because we have now become not old, but the new creature.
Exactly. So, you know, David, it's amazing to me how all of these things tie so greatly together.
Mm-hmm.
New creature, new creation, born again, remission of sins, walk in newness of life. You're no longer an old man, you're a new man. Now, if that's not enough, notice in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, and be not fashioned according to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, there are two things there, David, we really need to focus on. That is a renewed mind and transformed. Take one of them.
Well, the renewing of your mind has got to, it's a different way of thinking. We don't think the same old things that we used to think. We don't go the same old places we used to go. We are not conformed to this world. We're transformed, mm-hmm. and we have our minds transformed by the renewing of our mind. We don't say the same old things. We don't go the same old places. We don't run with the same old crowd, because now we have been transformed instead of conformed to the world. It's the new creature coming out in us. And Paul would say to the church at Philippi in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. So the transforming of our mind and the renewing of our mind has to do with the new birth and the new creature and the newness of life.
And you think about that idea, David, of being transformed. It comes from the Greek word metamorpho, from which we get our English word metamorphosis.
Mm-hmm.
And we understand a metamorphosis. You remember how that little caterpillar spins a cocoon and goes through a metamorphosis, and when he opens a cocoon, he is a butterfly. There has been a radical change, a transformation, a metamorphosis, and that's what we need to be, and that's what happens if we have truly obeyed the gospel. Now, the number to call tonight, if you'd like to get in the discussion with a question or a comment, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. We're on the internet radio tonight. There's a chat room you can get involved in. If you'll go to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible, you can get involved in the chat room. You can ask us questions or make comments on Twitter. Just follow us on Twitter, the Harrison Moore Expedition to the Bible. Hashtag Ask Harrison Moore. We're also airing on Periscope. If you'll check out Tom Moore, he's a guy with the black cowboy hat on. As you scroll down, there's several Tom Moores on there. But if you go to Tom Moore, you can also watch us live and ask questions or make comments as well. We're talking tonight about what happens when one becomes a Christian. And the first thing that we're talking about tonight, and that is, when we become a Christian, we become a new creation, a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. We are born again. We were coming out of something. We're coming out of the world into Christ. John 3 and verse 5. We have our sins washed away. The remission of sins, Acts 2 and verse 38. Romans 6, verses 3 and 4, we're buried with him in baptism, and therefore we walk in newness of life. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, we have a new mind. All of this comes, David, as a result of becoming a Christian.
Well, let's go back to Romans chapter 12 for just a second, mm-hmm. and verse number 2. He says, and be not conformed unto this world. That would be the old way of life.
Yes.
But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and that acceptable and that perfect will of God. Now, a couple of things I'd like to tie in here. We started off with Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13,
mm-hmm.
where it says, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. That word translated and transformed, very, very closely related.
Mm-hmm.
And just like the metamorphosis is, it's a translation from one thing to the next, from the old to the new. And what we have been, what has taken place, we are translated into the kingdom of God. We are transformed by the renewing of our mind and coming out of that old person that we were into the person that God would have us, so that we can prove what is that good and that perfect, that acceptable will of God by the way that we live in that newness of life that he's talking about there.
We think about this idea of new creature and a new life and a new name.
Mm-hmm.
We, by our actions, by the things that we do, the things that we say, do we not prove to the world that we are a new creature?
Yeah, either that or we disprove it.
Exactly. Or prove that we are have a new mind, or that we have this new name. You see, it's important for us not to just, you know, the world today claims a lot of things. We have a lot of people who live very ungodly lives who claim to be Christian, who claim to be born again. You know, that phrase born again is used so flippantly. They have no idea what being born again is. They have no idea what being a new creature is all about. Baptism, it starts there. But David, just being dipped in the water is not enough, is it?
No, not at all.
There's a transforming of the mind that has to take place.
And that takes place with the Word of God.
Exactly.
And to begin with, we've got to have the faith. And the faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And this is the foundational setting for everything that we've been talking about in becoming that new creature. We've got to have the faith. We've got to have the belief that the Bible gives us here, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We've got to believe that with all of our heart. We've got to repent, as we read just a moment ago in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. The confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God has got to be made before men. And then that baptism puts us into Christ so that we can become that new creature. Now, I mentioned to you earlier today that I probably listened to a 10 to 15 minute discourse of a man on talk radio today that was giving his take on Christianity. And for 10 or 15 minutes, he talked about his belief in God, or a person's belief in God, and the name Christ was never, ever mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Never mentioned. And it didn't make any difference, because in his mind, and in the mind of most people of the world, if you have a concept of God, then you are what they call a Christian.
Mm-hmm. And you know, and it's the same idea with the idea of being born again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people say, well, I'm a born-again Christian. I said, really? Well, how did you become that? Well, I just had a feeling in my heart. Well, again, we got to get back to this book right here, the New Testament, that teaches us what it really means to be a Christian, what it really means to be a new creation, what it really means to have a new mind and to walk in newness of life. And, David, the Bible, and we might stop here for just a second. The Bible is an objective standard, not a subjective standard.
Mm-hmm.
A subjective standard is based upon one personal feelings. You know, I believe this, you believe that. We'll all go different ways. We'll all get to heaven, right? You got your belief, I got my belief. That's having a subjective standard. But, David, the Bible is a objective standard. And how do we prove that? Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10, it says this: Now I beseech you, brethren, through the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same things, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfect together in the same mind and in the same judgment. David, the only way that's going to happen is if we have an objective standard. If it is subjective, then we can't be of the same mind, can we?
No.
We will not be of the same judgment. We will have divisions among us. There is an objective standard concerning how we become a Christian and what it really means to be born again and what it really means to be a new creation.
Well, we have a comment made here on the chat box, and it goes right along with what you're saying. We cannot know God if we don't know His Word. Now, that's the only way that we're going to have the same standard. Mm-hmm. Your standard is going to be like my standard if our standard is the Word of God. Mm-hmm. You can't have your opinion and me have my opinion. And this is the reason that you hear people say, well, you know, the Bible just full of contradictions. Well, the only way that the Bible is full of contradictions is if you get away from it.
Or if you're looking at it as a subjective standard,
yes,
and not an objective standard. You know, there people could know there's a God by looking at creation, but that's all you'll know. You'll know that there's some kind of creator, must have been created out there. But you can't know about God, like this one on the chat book room says, unless you go to His book. After all, it is His thoughts, right?
Mm-hmm.
And His thoughts has told us about what it takes to be a new creation and the importance of being a new creation and a new creature. But you know, David, this whole idea of being a new creation, a new creature, being born again, walking in newness of life, this means that all of these worldly habits have to be resisted. It means that we're no longer going to practice the former way of life because we are a new creation. We are now have newness of life. We now are having a new mind. We're not like we once were.
Well, that's absolutely right. In Colossians chapter 1, the Holy Spirit through Paul inspires Paul to write the letter to the church at Colossae. And verse number 10, he says that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Now, that terminology to walk in newness of life, to walk worthy, it has to do with a manner of life. It has to do with a manner of living. And so what he's saying here is that you might have your manner of living such as would be to the Lord unto all pleasing. And then being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, which puts us back here. You can't know God without knowing His Word.
Exactly right. We think about this idea then, David, of getting rid of these worldly habits and not practicing the life that we once did as a new creation. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 11 and 12, it says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Some translations say expose them. For the things which are done by them in secret, it is a shame even to speak of. David, we are a changed people. We are a new creation. We aren't fellowshipping and being a part of those things that we once were. And that's really the whole idea around being a new creation, having a new mindset. We're not that way anymore. We're not the old man, but we are the new man. We don't have anything to do with those former things that caused us to be in darkness.
Well, notice also, Tom, there in verse number 11, he says, have no fellowship with them. Don't run around with them.
Mm-hmm.
Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Now, this is what we have been delivered out of.
Exactly.
We've been delivered out of darkness and into His marvelous light. We've been delivered out of the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. So have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but that's just half of it. The other part is, but rather reprove them or expose them. Now, this is the reason that the world hates Christians.
Exactly right
here.
Right. You know, we've got some of our political candidates who are exposing darkness,
mm-hmm,
and they're being raked over the coals on it, you know. And today we have a lot of people who are trying to stand for what's right, and we we are being accused of hate crimes or unloving or being judgmental. But in reality, all we're doing is what the Bible says to do, expose what they are, show that they are of the darkness. You know, David, we think about us doing what the Bible says. Can you be wrong if you do what the Bible says, especially since it is our objective standard and tells us what it really means to be a new creation?
No. And you know, most people in the world that are doing wrong, they know they're doing wrong. They just don't want anybody to tell them they're doing wrong because they don't want to be corrected. This is the part of the worldly human nature out of which we've been translated. The world does not want to be told no.
Is that not why Jesus said there are some people who don't want to come to the light except they be exposed? Well, the Bible's God's light, right?
Right.
And so they're going to try to keep everyone in darkness. They're going to try to stay away from the teaching of the Bible. They don't like to be exposed because it might show exactly what they are.
Well, if you've got it turned there, if you will look at John 3, verses 19 and 20, you're going to read just exactly what you just got through saying, but Jesus said it just a little bit differently.
John chapter 3. Beginning verse 19, and this is the judgment, that the light is come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their works were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, and cometh not to the light, lest their works should be reproved.
And isn't that what he's saying here in Ephesians chapter 5, in verses 10 and 11 and 12?
You know, that's the very reason that the ad came out, I think I shared it with you earlier, in the Fort Worth Star-Telegram by the Knights of Columbus, that the Bible is a confusing book. And they suggest in that you don't read it, that they'll tell you everything they want you to know. And what you're saying is so many times people don't want to know what the Bible says, and they don't want you to know.
The Knights of Columbus don't want them to read the Bible because the Bible is going to condemn what they're doing.
Absolutely.
You know, look at this, David, here. It says in John chapter 3, verse 19, and this is a judgment, that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than the light. And yet we looked at it a while ago in Colossians chapter 1, verse 12, that we are translated out of darkness. There are some people evidently who like to stay in the darkness.
They don't want to be in the light. The light exposes everything, and they just flat don't want to be in it. And it's a sad state of affairs for the people that are in the world that think that the world is going to offer them more than Jesus the Christ is going to offer them in the light. Satan is the controller of the darkness. He is the prince of darkness. He is the prince of this world. And he would love everybody to think that the darkness is where all of the fun is. That darkness is where all of the pleasurable things are. And they may be. The temporal pleasures of this life are going to be in the darkness. If you ever open the door to a bar room, you're going to find that it's not light in there at all. It's dark, and there's a reason that it's dark, because that's the way people want it. They don't want people to see what they're doing in there.
You know, look back at this passage, David, after we talked about in John 3, verses 19 and 20, how people don't want to come to the light. And notice the connection that Jesus puts with the light and the word of God that we've been talking about a moment ago. He says in verse 21, but he that doeth, what was that? He that doeth the truth cometh to the light, that his works may be made manifest, that they have been wrought in God. Mm-hmm. You see, that's the whole point of what we're talking about tonight, using God's word as our standard. This word of God shows us how to become a new creature. It shows us how to be born again. It talks about how we need to have that renewing of our mind. All of this brings us out of darkness. All of this allows us to be a new creation, a new man. and in darkness. There is nothing for the future for us but eternal damnation.
Well, in darkness, there will never be a transformation made. There will never, ever be a transformation made. And it's a shame that we have three, four, maybe even five generations of individuals now that have never been exposed to the light. They've been walking in darkness all their life, and they think this is the best. It just doesn't get any better than this.
And there are people who walk into the light, and the first thing they're doing is flip off the switch.
Yeah.
You know, they had access to the light, but they didn't want it, so they cut it off.
Right.
There are a lot of people out there who simply refuse to do what God says.
Well, we're talking about here the worldly habits are going to have to be resisted. The worldly habits are not going to need to be practiced anymore. And so we've got to have a renewing of our mind in order for this to happen. You can't keep the same old mindset and come away with it.
In the chat room, it says that's why it makes them uncomfortable. They know it's wrong, and they don't want to have it pointed out, so they switch off the light. They want to stay in darkness. That's why thieves steal at night.
Right.
That's why the ballrooms are dark. They don't want to be seen what's going on there. People don't want to be seen for what they don't want to be exposed. So they would rather stay in the darkness, as if God would not see them.
Right. Right. And like the individual on the chat room says, this is why it makes them uncomfortable. The light exposes who they are and what they are and what they do and the way that they think. And when we look at the way that we think, you know, we've already seen Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 11 says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. When we're talking about a newness of mind and a newness of life, we've got to look at what 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13 has to say. And that is, it starts off by saying, gird up the loins of your mind. And this has to do with a newness, a new way of thinking here, a better way of thinking. And tell us a little bit about what the connotation behind girding up the loins of your mind. It's a figure of speech. That goes along with the first century Christian as he is dressed.
Exactly. In the first century and even later than that in history, they would have these robes and they would be hanging below the knees. And if they were trying to run or to work in the field, those flowing robes would be getting in their way. So they would take what they would call a girdle or some kind of belt, and they would wrap it underneath them, pull it around, and pull up those garments so that they would not be getting in their way.
And that was called girding up your robe.
Yeah, girding up the loin, because they would do it between your legs so that it would come up and not be in your way. Well, David, we talk about the idea of girding up the loins of your mind. There are a lot of things, David, that get in the way of people's thinking. And his idea here is then you need to get rid of those things that are going to mess up your thinking. And he emphasizes that by using the word what? Sober. Tell us about soberness.
Well, when a person, and let's just read verse number 13. It says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope, wait a minute here.
Set your hope.
Yeah. Where am I? Verse 13. that's 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. Gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Gird up the loins of your mind, be sober. In other words, do not let anything affect your mind that is going to alter your mind in any way where you will not be the clearest thinking possible newness of mind that you could possibly be.
Why is it so important, David, for us to protect our thinking?
Because that is our spiritual heart.
Mm-hmm. So, and from our thinking comes what? What we say.
What we do.
What we do. Where we find ourselves.
What we think. And the proverb writer has an awful lot to say about that. He says, for as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And so it all starts with the thought process. And if we don't have a sober mind, if we are not sober of mind, if we don't have this newness of mind mm-hmm. in us here that we're talking about, which comes with the new creature, then we're not going to be able to think appropriately and to prove ourselves acceptable unto God with a mind that is not sober.
So to be having our minds girded, having our loins girded, gird up the loins of your mind, and being sober means not to fill your mind with anything that's going to alter your thinking, whether it be alcohol or drugs or pornography or some worldly endeavor, some worldly book, worldly music, anything that's going to cloud your spiritual thinking. He says, get rid of it.
Right.
And that's all a part of being a new creation. That's all a part of being walking in newness of mind and having our girding the loins of our mind, get them into control so that we're able to do the things that we need to be doing for the Lord.
Right, and the latter part of that, and as we mentioned at the very beginning of this broadcast, when we're talking about becoming a new creature, we never become old. It's always going to be a new thing that's mm-hmm. going to take us, the newness of it is going to take us all the way into heaven. Now notice what the latter part of verse number 13 says, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what's going to take us all the way into heaven. Mm-hmm. It's that new creature that never, ever, ever grows old. But then we've even got more to that to add in verses 14, 15, and 16, which clarifies every single bit of it.
That's right. So we are to gird up the loins of our mind, be sober, verse 14, as children of obedience, not fashioning yourselves according to your former lust in the time of your ignorance, but like as he who called you is holy, be yourselves also holy in all manner of living, because it is written, ye shall be holy, for I am holy. David, we could spend a long time right here.
Mm-hmm.
Notice the connection about being sober-minded, girding up the loins of your mind, and its connection with children of obedience.
Children of obedience and not of ignorance.
Exactly.
Children of light, not of darkness.
Mm-hmm.
Children that have been delivered from the power of darkness and into his kingdom. Translated into the kingdom. These things, and it gets back again to before and after the new creature. You're either going to be in darkness or you're going to be in the light. You can't be in both at the same time. And this is the problem that we have when people become Christians. They do not make, and people on the chat room here even said this, that too many believe that this baptism is not a transformation that we must go through. I believe Bill wrote that just a moment ago. Now this is a transformation that we got to make, and we can't be at both places at the same time. It's a transforming from the old to the new.
You know, and this idea of becoming a new creature does not mean that there's something that we don't have to do in this whole process.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like zap, some magical thing, and you're a new creature, and you're good to go for the rest of your life. No, there is the constant renewing of our mind, the constant of walking in the light, the constant being children of obedience, and as he mentioned here, being holy, being like God. God is holy, so we must be holy. That's part of the new creation.
Right.
What does it mean, David, to be holy. Can a person be holy?
Absolutely. He can be pure. He can be holy. As a matter of fact, and this is the atrocity and the abomination of killing children in the womb. There is nothing more pure, nothing more innocent, nothing more holy than a child that has just been born or a child that's still in the womb.
Mm-hmm.
So this new creature that has just been born is holy.
Isn't that why he likens baptism unto a birth?
Mm-hmm.
Once a baby comes out of his mother's womb, it's pure. It has not sinned. When we've been baptized, born of the water and the Spirit, we then also at that moment are pure. And that's how God wants us to stay, right?
Right. He wants us to stay there. However, sometimes we falter. And it is then, because we have reached the blood of Jesus in baptism, it is then that we have the privilege and the opportunity of prayer to ask for forgiveness for those sins and be pure and holy again.
And that's a part of the renewing of our mind. And this renewing of our mind comes as we imbib on the Word of God.
Absolutely.
You know, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If we want strong faith, if we want to know what it takes to be holy, if we want to know what it takes to have our minds renewed, if we want to know what it takes to be a new creation, then we're going to have to get into this New Testament right here. That's what we have to be a part of.
And notice what you just said. It's a New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an Old Testament.
Exactly.
It is the New Testament under which we live today. It is the last will and testament of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Not going to be another one.
Yes,
this
sir.
Is the last one that's here. God's not going to tell us something that's not in this book.
It's not the Book of Mormon.
No.
Call the last will and testament. My friends, the New Testament that was inspired by the apostles, this is the last will and testament. It is the New Testament is all sufficient. It tells us how to be a new creation. Talks about the newness of mind. Talks about walking in newness of life. It talks about being holy. It talks about being transformed. All of this instruction found right here. So what should we do with regard to the New Testament?
Well, everything about the new creature, everything about the new birth, everything about all of these newness of life and the renewing of our mind, it's all placed there by accumulating and allowing this Word of God as an objective standard to live in our spiritual heart, mm-hmm. and guide us every step of the way.
Exactly.
Now,
right.
Before we run out of time, we do need to cover another couple of points here, and one of those points is a person cannot serve God while he's walking with the devil.
Mm-hmm.
And when we look at that decision to become a new creature in Christ should put an end to all of that worldly living, as we've been talking about, because the new creature is not going to try to just get as close to sin as he possibly can. As a matter of fact, he's going to turn and run the other way.
You know, that kind of gets back to what we started with in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24. No man can serve two masters. You can't walk around this life holding the devil's hand and holding the Lord's hand. You can't hold both hands.
Right.
And so a child of God is going to stay away from anything, David, that even appears sinful. Don't see how close to sin you can get. Stay away from it. You know, flee. That's right, you know, flee fornication. Abstain from every appearance of evil. Get away from it. That's what it means to be new. That's what it means to be holy, set apart.
A newness of mind where once maybe you wanted to snuggle up to it, now you no longer want to snuggle up to it. It's just like Paul told Timothy, flee youthful lust, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22.
You know, and that's why as a new creation, we need to remember that at this point, the devil is going to work harder on us than he has ever done before. And while we were in darkness, he had us, right?
He had us.
But now that we're a new creation, he does not have us. And so he's going to work hard on us. And where's he going to hit us, David?
He's going to take us at our most vulnerable point.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it is that we are most vulnerable to be susceptible to, whether it be the pleasures of sin for a season, or whether it be your money, or whether it be whatever your greatest desire in life is, that's exactly what Satan is going to work on to get you back where he had you to begin with.
You know, in David, in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, be sober. We talked about that just a moment ago. Notice why it's important. Be sober, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. The devil is a very powerful and fearful warrior. He is an adversary. He's going to try to take us down, and that's why it's so important for us to be clear in our thinking, right?
Well, and that's exactly what he says to begin with. Be sober. Be vigilant. And when we are sober-minded, we are going to be vigilant, and it gets us back to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13, where he says, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober. Keep that mind, keep your spiritual heart just as clear as you can possibly keep it, because Satan is coming at you right there.
You know, before we conclude our program tonight, we need to remind our listeners of our additional sponsors. We're being sponsored tonight by the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas, the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon, Texas, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, the Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, Texas, the Mount Vernon Church of Christ in Mount Vernon, Texas, the Ninth and Main Church of Christ in San Angelo, the Windmill Church of Christ in Weatherford, Texas, and the Santo Church of Christ in Santo, Texas. David, got one last question as we conclude tonight. Can one really take on the name Christian without becoming a new creation?
No, absolutely not. He cannot do it. Regardless of what men might say, regardless of the discourse that you might hear on talk radio for 10 or 15 minutes, it doesn't make any difference what man have said. We've got to get back to that objective standard. And the objective standard says that we must become that new creature in Christ Jesus in order to be able to take on the name of Christian. And that name carries a very, very important connotation with God. We're going to see this in a couple of weeks. 270-something times in the Bible for the namesake of God, for the namesake of Christ. And so, no, you've asked a question that needs to be answered in a definitive negative way. You cannot take on the name Christian if you do not take on the new creature.
What happens when one becomes a Christian? Well, first of all, he becomes a new creation. We'll talk more about this next week. We're glad to have you in our audience tonight. You have been listening to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father.
Thank you for tuning in to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. This is a live call-in talk show discussing the important topics and current events threatening our Christian faith. Please join us every Monday night from 6 to 7 p.m. and call in with any questions or comments at 855-QA-BIBLE. That's 855-QA-BIBLE, or email your questions and comments to questions@harrisonmoore.org. Our motto is, you've heard what men have to say, now listen to what the Bible has to say. Harrison Moore. more Expedition Through the Bible every Monday night from 6 to 7 on this radio station.
Great is thy faithfulness.